I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord once again. Now, the topic this morning is beware of dogs. Now, the dogs here that I'm talking about are the dogs referred to by the great Apostle Paul. And these dogs are not pets, they are not nice things, but they are scavenger dogs. So they are not good dogs. Beware of dogs. And I'm speaking from 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 to 8, but not all the verses. So put your finger there because I'll be referring to these verses. Some time ago I was told that if you went to certain countries in Africa, you should not be flaunting your wealth. For example, a man should not be showing forth his Rolex watch in these countries. And if you travel in the bushes in a car, you had better be very, very careful. Particularly, don't put your hand through the window. Because if you did that, some robbers might come by on the motorbikes and chop off your forearm to get a watch, of course. Then they also told me that it is not a wise thing even to wear fake watches, counterfeit watches, particularly counterfeit Rolex watch, because the robbers can't tell the difference between the fake Rolex watch and the real thing. So you might lose your arm also. But isn't it very true today there are so many kinds of counterfeits? Counterfeit money, shoes, bags, counterfeit CDs, counterfeit DVDs. They all look so real, like the real thing. You can't tell the difference between the fake stuff and the real thing. And friends, throughout church history, we also have lots of fakes and counterfeits in the church. There were, and today there are, counterfeit prophets and counterfeit teachers. And so we read in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1, right? If you turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. And there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. There were false prophets, there are false prophets, and there are false teachers in the church today. I'm not talking about our church, but talking about churches in general. I'd like us to look at the characteristics of false teachers. First of all, as we said, they look like the real thing. You look at them, you can't tell the difference, and you don't know whether they are really good or really bad. I think you would possibly assume that they are good. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, but keep your finger at 2 Peter. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. Now, we are talking about the characteristics of false teachers. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, not real apostles, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, Paul says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, his servants, also be transformed as the servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Yes, no wonder at all. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. He's very, very capable of doing that. And because he's very, very capable of doing that, his servants can also be transformed into servants of righteousness, when in fact they are servants of the evil one. And often they come into the church privily. Peter says that they come into the church privily. In other words, they come into the church stealthily, subtly, and they seem very, very earnest, they seem very sincere, and they seem to be very much with us. Yes, they seem to be believing in the same things that we believe in. And they seem to be embracing the same thing we embrace. One time, a minister came into our midst in Singapore. Now, he appeared very sincere, appeared very earnest, and he appeared to be one who was with us. And one leader in our church even described him as a man of God. Can you imagine that? Describe him as a man of God. And this man was very eloquent. very charming, and of course very friendly. And even our Bible college, the Far Eastern Bible College, invited him to teach in the college for a spell. Imagine that. And he became quite popular in our Bible Presbyterian churches in Singapore. And in fact, one of our churches actually invited him to become a pastor in the church. But thankfully, there were people in the church who were well taught in the doctrines of the faith, and they smelt a rat in this man and exposed him for what he really was, a false teacher. He was not with us. He was actually against us. But we are also deceived. No wonder Paul says this: "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their worth." And false teachers always have their agenda. They always have. And Peter says in verse 3 what their agenda is. Look at verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 2. "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. And that's what they want to do, make merchandise of you. You know what that means? It means to exploit you. For what purpose? To get money, of course, for monetary gains. Yes, that is the whole objective. And most notorious among false teachers would be the tele-evangelists, so-called. So they put up very entertaining shows on TV. They have faith-healing sessions, and they claim to be able to perform signs and wonders. And then the next thing that they do is, of course, to appeal to your pocket. Now, I actually saw one of these tele-evangelistic show. As part of the show, an appeal was made to the viewers of the program, the audience that was in the hall, and listeners, presumably, to buy holy water container bottle. All right, the show was trying to entice people to buy. Now, I can't remember whether there was a price tag or not to that bottle, but for sure, viewers could have that bottle of holy water if they paid for it and contributed to the organization of the tele-evangelists. Now, the point is, would people pay for the holy water? Yes or no? Yes, of course, because they had been deceived, and so they would pay. And as we said, some of these tele-evangelists were actually very notorious. When they were exposed, they were found to be very immoral people. Greedy, adulterous, and at least one of them was found sleeping with prostitutes. Yes, tele-evangelists. Now, one minister one time came to our church. Another minister, this one. This one was a minister from a third world country. He came to our church in Singapore. Now, our ministers knew his father. Now, his father was a good man, so it seemed, all right, a good man. So, since his father was a good man, the assumption was the son was also a good man. So, we allowed him to have some time from the pulpit in our church, and he spoke. And he gave an impressive account of his work in his country. Now, did he have an agenda? Of course he had, all right. He was appealing for money. Indirectly, he said, "My workers need bicycles, not 10, 20 bicycles, mind you, hundreds of bicycles." Then did our congregation members believe him? Yes, because he was very impressive, and we felt that he needed help, and so bicycles were sent to him. And then we discovered that he was making merchandise of us, exploiting us, and so no more bicycles were sent to him. Now, what about that minister who came into our church, into our midst, who came in stealthily, subtly, and who posed as a minister? Now, and we realized that he was actually against us. Did he have an agenda? Of course he had an agenda. He wanted to become a pastor of one of our churches. That was his agenda. So you see, all these false teachers always have an agenda. Now the next question is, what did the false teachers and false prophets teach? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. What did they teach? They taught damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now there is a sense in which the Lord Jesus Christ has bought all sinners. There is a sense, because when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he died for the sins of the world. And so we read in 1 John chapter 2 verse 2, which says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we can say that he died for the sins of the whole world. But when it comes to the application of his precious blood, our Lord's atonement is not for the whole world. Our Lord's atonement is only for the elect, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so we have this teaching, Christ's death is sufficient for the whole world, but efficient for the elect, efficient for those who believe in him. Now these false teachers and prophets taught damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Now, what does heresy originally mean? Now, heresy originally means making a choice. It was a good word, actually, making a choice. Then the meaning then became a sect or a party. And then it became false teaching loaded with party spirit. And that's what the current meaning is, false teaching loaded with party spirit. So a false teacher coming into the church might confront members of the church and ask this question, whose side are you on? Are you on the pastor's side or on my side? See, that's the kind of question that they will ask. Now, what did these heresies teach? Now, essentially, these heresies taught that Christ is not God, or Christ was not God. So Peter says in verse 1, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. These heresies denied the Lord. And all the heresies of the cults actually have this underlying denial. You talk about Mormons, you talk about Jehovah's Witnesses, they have this kind of denial. They deny that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They deny that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Yes, to them, Jesus is only a created being. To all these cults, it's the same. Yes, Jesus is only a created being. Now, if a different Christ is taught outside the church, should we be very concerned? Yeah, concerned somewhat. Maybe not very concerned. I mean, we are not really very concerned about the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. If they did their own thing and they don't come and bother us, you know, we are not bothered with them. All right? We are not very, very concerned. But today, my dear friends, a different Christ is taught within the church. Now, if a different Christ is taught within the church, then should we not be very concerned? My dear friends, then we should be very, very concerned. Now, it is a false gospel that is being preached today, my dear friends. And this false gospel is called the prosperity gospel. It is a false gospel. Now, it teaches this prosperity gospel has this teaching. According to this teaching, this gospel is one by which Christ hands out health and wealth. And that's the teaching. Christ hands out health and wealth. And essentially the message is this: if you believe in Christ, you can expect financial prosperity. You can expect to have good health, and you can expect to have success in relationships. All this sounds very good. If you have the correct faith in him, so they say. If you you have the correct faith in him, and if you have the right attitude towards him, and if you obey him, you will be blessed with material prosperity. And that's the teaching. Now, teachers of this false gospel will often quote Bible verses, the same verses that we quote, but they interpret differently. Now, take for example Malachi 3:10. We quote this verse, Malachi 3:10. We read this verse and say, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now where we saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, what kind of blessing are they talking about? Of course, material blessings. That's what their focus is on. So they say, you tithe, and you tithe, God will open his windows from heaven, in heaven, and then pour you out blessings, and the blessings will be material blessings. And then they say again, they quote Luke chapter 6 verse 38, and they say, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto you. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." Again, what are they talking about? Material blessings. Not just some blessings, but overflow blessings. If you give, you will be blessed with overflowing blessings. And what kind of blessings? Again, material blessings. And then they will quote Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. They say, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." You see, get wealth. So you believe, you get wealth. The truth, my dear friends, is the prosperity gospel is a false gospel. The blessings God promises do not necessarily have to be material blessings. More importantly, God's blessings are spiritual blessings, which are far, 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 far more valuable than material blessings, because spiritual blessings are blessings which money cannot buy. A billionaire is not blessed in spite of his billions if he does not have joy and peace in his heart. Don't you think so? He can have his billions, but no joy and peace in his heart. What kind of blessings are we talking about? No blessings. And surely a man is absolutely blessed if he has joy and peace in his heart, even though he is a pauper. Don't you agree? He could be a poor man, but if he has joy and peace in his heart, he is indeed a very, very blessed man. Now, for a gospel to be true, it must teach these truths. And I'd like to refer you to these truths. All right? Please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 10. Yes, for the gospel to be true, the gospel must teach these truths. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. All right, verse 7. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Having food and raiment, what does that mean? Having food on our table and having a roof over our head, that's what it means. Let us be very content therewith. "But they that will be rich," if you want to be rich, "you fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Perdition means ruins. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now this is the teaching from the Word of God by the great Apostle Paul. Where is the teaching that if you believe in Jesus, you will be blessed with prosperity, material prosperity? No such a teaching. The teaching is very, very clear. If you have the basic needs, a roof over your head, food on your table, be thankful unto the Lord and be very contented. And then in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, same kind of teaching by the Lord Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to Matthew 6, 19 to 21, talking about laying our treasures in heaven and not on this earth. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. I read for you these verses, 19 to 21. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And then you go on to Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. All right, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. You cannot serve God and mammon. You love either one of them. You love one, you must hate the other. So, my dear friends, the prosperity gospel is a faulty gospel. And one very, very serious defect of the prosperity gospel is the lack of emphasis on repentance. Not much talk about repentance. But the Lord is very, very clear. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. The message of repentance is part and parcel of the gospel message. If the message of repentance is not given, it is a false gospel. Now, false teachers would also deny God's word. And so we read verse 3, 2 Peter number 2, chapter 2, verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now they don't use God's word. What false teachers do is they use feigned words. Now the word feigned in the original means plastic. So they use plastic words. In other words, the words that they are making use of when they speak, my dear friends, they are not being sincere. As we say, when they speak, they have an agenda. And their purpose is to make merchandise of their hearers, exploit the hearers to get monetary gains. Now, it is true that the word plastic also has another sense. You see, the false teachers also quote scriptures like the way we do. But they quote scriptures out of context, and they misquote scriptures, and they twist and turn scripture to suit their own purpose. And don't forget, they have an agenda. They turn and twist scripture for their own, to suit their own agenda. And I've given you some examples of the quotations that they make out of the Word of God to suit their prosperity gospel. And they conveniently leave out the teachings which directly oppose their teachings. The verses that I quoted, they conveniently leave them out. They don't talk about them. They don't emphasize them. Now, let's look at the popularity of false teachers. And false teachers are very popular. Verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You see, many shall follow their pernicious ways. In other words, their destructive ways or their immoral ways. And historically, false teachers have always been more popular than true teachers. And that's true. You look into the Word of God. Was Jeremiah a popular man? Was Micaiah a popular man? No. True prophets were not popular people. In fact, all these were hated by the rulers of the country. Micaiah was hated by the king, hated by King Ahab. Ahab put him in prison. Now I must talk about Ahab and Micaiah, alright, to show you how unpopular this prophet was in the days of King Ahab. Now, during the reign of King Ahab, the nation of Israel had already been divided into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. All the kings of the northern kingdom were bad, dynasty after dynasty, all of them were wicked and bad, and particularly bad was King Ahab. And he put this man, this prophet Micaiah, in jail. Now, a day came when King Ahab wanted to go to war with this country, Syria. And he formed an alliance with the southern kingdom. Now, usually, southern kingdom and northern kingdom were not on talking terms. They were enemies. But in this instance, the northern kingdom under King Ahab forged an alliance with the southern kingdom, which was ruled by King Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat was a good king. But somehow he formed this alliance with Ahab, and they decided to go to war against the Syrians. Now, I'd like us to turn to 1 Kings and look at 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. All right. 1 Kings 22 and verse 5. Found it? 1 Kings 22 and verse 5. So they were going to war. All right. And King Jehoshaphat, as I said, he was the king of the southern kingdom, said unto the king of Israel, the king of Israel will be King Ahab. King Jehoshaphat said unto King Ahab, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Before we go to war, find out from the Lord what the Lord's will is. Alright, and verse 6. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. Now these were all false prophets. 400 men. And said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? You know, all of them said this. And they said, go on, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. You will defeat the Syrians. Alright. And Jehoshaphat, verse 7, he wasn't very sure of that. And he said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Is there one somebody else? And verse 8, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. And who was he? Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. You see that? You read that? But I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Bring him quickly. Verse 10. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes, in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the false prophets prophesied before them. And chief of them was Zedekiah. Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah. He made his horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. And all the prophets, false prophets, prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. Alright. Then at the request of King Jehoshaphat, King Ahab brought in the counsel of the true prophet, Micaiah. Okay, look at verse 17. And Micaiah said, when he prophesied, he said, he was speaking the truth. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. You know what he saw? He saw the Israelites, all scattered, having no shepherd, having no leader. Where was their leader? Their leader was killed. That's why there was no leader. Yes. So who do you think was more popular? Micaiah or the false prophets? Of course, the false prophets. Yes, the false prophets said good things. Yes, things that people love to hear. They said things that made people feel good. They said things that fed on their pride. You see, the Syrians are nothing to us. Go, fight them, we'll beat them. So the joint forces of Ahab and Jehoshaphat went to war against the Syrians. And according and true to the prophecy of Micaiah, Ahab was killed in battle. No shepherd. The Israelites were scattered. False teachers are popular. You know why? Because their teachings are easy, comfortable. They make you feel good. And their meetings are about what? About celebration. It's about having a good time singing so-called praises unto the Lord. The message is about health and wealth. And who doesn't want to be healthy? Who doesn't want to be wealthy? It's all about feeling good. Whereas the true preacher of the gospel will always preach like what the Apostle Paul did. 1 Corinthians 1:23. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1:23 and see how the Apostle Paul preached. And what he preached. 1 Corinthians 1:23. But, okay, I read for you. 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. So what's the message? A very popular message. No, my dear friends, it is Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, cannot be popular to the Jews. And unto the Greeks foolishness, cannot be popular to the Greeks. And they would preach what Christ preached. Luke chapter 13 verse 3, remember what the Lord says? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. That is the truth, my dear friends. And then remember the Lord Jesus Christ says in Luke chapter 14, 27, 28, and he says, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" The message is not a popular message. It is about cross-bearing. It is about following the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about discipleship, not about health and wealth. So which message is more popular? The health and wealth gospel message or the true message of the Lord Jesus Christ? Of course, it's the message of the health and wealth gospel. And health and wealth gospels, gospel preachers naturally would be more popular. Now, when we think of the pernicious ways or the wicked or immoral ways of the false teachers, we straight away think of false teachers who are very immoral. And it's true, many of them are immoral. And they make merchandise of their followers to enrich themselves. And that's true. They stay in top class hotels and they behave like celebrities. And some of them are involved in sex scandals, as we have said. But friends, what is most damaging to the souls of the hearers of the because of the pernicious ways of the teaching is this. This is the thing that is most harmful and most hurtful. Their whole approach, listen carefully, the whole approach is to get the listeners to bypass the mind. The whole approach is to get straight to the senses. You know the difference? Bypass the mind, go straight to the senses. That approach is more concerned about getting the listeners to feel good rather than to search the truth of the Word of God. Any preacher that does not encourage you to preach, to search the Word of God for the truth, you can be sure that he's not a true preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One time, I asked my niece, I don't know if I ever told you this before or not. She attends one of such churches. I said, "What do you think of your church?" She said, "Wow, it's good. Every time I go there, I feel good." That's how she feels. Every time she goes there, she says, "I feel good." And she was led into thinking that the search for the truth is not important. Now, what is most important? The most important is to what? Feel good. That's the most important, my dear friends. So the approach is go straight to the senses and to bypass the mind. And sad to say, today the inclination of many churches is to appeal to the senses and to bypass the mind. That's the approach many churches take today. And they try to make people feel good, try to make people feel comfortable, try to make people feel happy, excited, rather than to promote the sanctifying work of God. They should be talking about the Holy Spirit working in people's heart, showing them the Word of God, so that they will be sanctified, so that they will grow in holiness. But that's not the emphasis. So what do you have in such churches? Loud bands, loud music, good entertainment. Create an atmosphere of what? Celebration, of course. So you see the word celebrate is used many times. They want to create an atmosphere of celebration. And in the end, what's the net result, my dear friends? Only the senses are stimulated. What about spiritual growth? Zero, my dear friends. Senses stimulated, spiritual growth, zero. What about holiness in the lives of the participants? Holiness is not promoted, not encouraged, not built up. I want to say this to you. Never let this happen in our church. All messages preached from this pulpit must be edifying. They must build people up in the faith. They must help people to know the Word of God better. All messages must increase the knowledge of members of the church, hearers of the truth. Yes, the messages must feed the mind. The aim must be to help worshippers grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The aim of the messages must be to help people to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy, loving, meek, humble. That must be the aim of the preacher from this pulpit. And how should we respond to false teachers? There are people who say, "Why bother the nitpick? Come on, we are nitpicking. Just live and let live." My dear friends, if these people are doing their things outside the church, we really don't care. Right, concerned, but we don't care very much. But they are doing things within the church. When I'm talking about the church, I don't mean our church, but churches in general. Now, did Paul and Peter have this kind of attitude? Live and let live. Did they? They did not, friends. What did Peter call them? I'd like us to look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Peter called them dogs, and he called them pigs. All right. I show you this verse, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow, what is a sow? A sow is a pig, of course. A sow that was washed has turned back to her wallowing in the mire. That was what Peter called them. And what did Paul call them? I'd like us to turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Here's the words that we make use for the title of our message today. Paul calls them what? Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Paul referred to them as dogs, and not pet dogs, my dear friends, scavenger dogs. Now, as I said earlier on, if these false teachers operate outside the church, we are not very concerned. We will live and let live. But no, my dear friends, they are posing as the true preachers of the gospel. And by their false teachings, they are giving false security to people, causing people to think that they are safe when they really are not safe, because they don't preach the message of repentance. And then they don't help the members of the congregation to understand this truth, that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And what is doing the will of the Heavenly Father? Doing the will of the Heavenly Father is to repent from our sins and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't repent from your sins, you are not doing the will of the Heavenly Father. Heaven has no place for you. So, my dear friends, they are preaching a gospel that is not true. Yes, false teachers shall privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And their followers, sad to say, if they follow them, will follow suit. Yes, and how can their destruction not be swift? Their destruction will be very, very swift. Now, we know of this truth. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that is as far as believers are concerned. Would that be very sweet? Very sweet, right? The moment we are absent from this body, present with the Lord. My friends, as for false teachers and the followers who follow them and who do not know the truth, their destruction will be very swift also. Absent from the body, present where? In hell, friends. It is an immediate destruction. Yes, that's why it's called swift destruction. And then by their false teachings, my dear friends, false teachers are leading their followers to follow their pernicious ways. So we read in verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. By reason of whom? The whom here refers to followers. By reason of the followers, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, if the followers are not truly converted, I'm talking about the followers now. If the followers are not truly converted, not truly born again, and they go around wearing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, would they not do harm to the gospel? Yes, no. Of course they'll do harm to the gospel. Yes, they will cause the gospel to be evil spoken of. I remember about, I think 2 years ago, remember the Australian Idol contest. I think you know this, right? And in the final round of the contest, lots of the competitors, I don't know how many of them, were from which church? From the Hillsong Church. And there was a public outcry against these contestants from Hillsong's church participating in this contest, because it's unfair. You say, you know, all these people are from the Hillsong Church. Now, but that's not my point, my dear friends. My point is this. These people from Hillsong Church going up to participate in that contest were giving the public a wrong idea of what Christianity is. People would think that the church is a place where you churn out what? Pop singers that will perform on stage, right? They will have no idea about what true Christianity is. They will have no idea that true Christianity is about walking the straight and narrow road, following the Lord Jesus Christ, being disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not walking along the broad way that leads to hell. And surely, my dear friends, one of our holy duties is to expose false teachers and to expose false teachings. Yes, false teachers and false teachings, they lead people to hell. And they bring shame to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what's the best defense against false teachings and false teachers? What's the best defense? We said it many times before. The best defense is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the best defense. We must know the Word of God well. Have the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know Him well. Know the Word of God well. Just like the Bereans did. Remember the Bereans? Paul, in his second missionary journey, first of all went to the city of Philippi. He was persecuted there, and then he went to the city of Thessalonica, where he was persecuted. The persecution was so severe that he had to leave that city at night to go to the city of Berea. And then he came to Berea. I'd like us to read these wonderful verses from the Word of God. Acts chapter 17 and verse 10 and verse 11. Alright, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas. He was at Thessalonica, persecuted. It was a very dangerous situation, so Paul and Silas had to leave Thessalonica by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Everywhere Paul went, he would enter into the synagogue. Verse 11, these were more noble than those folks in Thessalonica, because at Thessalonica he and Silas were persecuted, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, why did they receive Paul's teachings? Why? Now, they received Paul's teachings because they were searching the word of God daily. So they understood that what Paul was preaching was absolutely true. Now, if Paul wasn't preaching the truth, would they have known? Yes. How would they know? Because they were searching the word of God daily. And friends, and that is exactly what we must do. My dear friends, we must search the word of God. We must know the word of God. So that if a false teacher comes into our church, we know that he's a false teacher straight away. Just like, you remember that church I told you about? That preacher went into the church, wanted to become a pastor. The people there knew the word of God and said, this fella is not a true preacher of the gospel. They identified him straight away. As such, my dear friends, if we know the word of God, we will have the best defense and the right defense. So friends, beware of false teachers. Beware of those. Now remember, these are not my words. Beware of those. Whose words? Paul's words. The word from the word of God. They come into the church subtly, stealthily, and before you know it, they are in. Let us be very, very wary of them. And friends, this is practically the experience of every good church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over time, when the defense is lax, false teachers will come in. I trust this will never ever happen in our church. And what do false teachers teach? They teach damnable heresies, because the gospel that they preach is a false gospel. It is a gospel that leads people to hell. They can use the same Bible languages that you and I make use of. But let's be careful. The Christ that they have is the Christ of their own invention, not the Christ of the Bible. And today, let's be very, very wary of the health and wealth gospel. Yes, I do not like to say, but I have to say, it is a false gospel, my dear friends. Believe the word of God and realize that it is a false gospel. It promises health and wealth, but does not emphasize repentance, and it does not emphasize holiness. And false teachers always have their agenda. Yes, and their agenda is based on covetousness. They covet money, they covet power, their methods are pernicious. Watch, my dear friends, against the health and wealth gospel. And remember, the approach of many of these modern preachers who are not true preachers of the gospel is to go straight for the senses, to cause people to bypass the mind. Yes, the whole intention is to make you feel good and not to teach you to search the truth. And the best defense against false teachers and false teachings is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must know the Word of God. We must search the Word of God daily, just like the Bereans did. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this warning from your Word. Father, we pray that we may be very, very watchful against false teachings. And we know that the best defense against false teachings is knowledge of your word. Help us, O Lord God, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cause us to be like the Bereans who search your word daily. Likewise, Father, we pray that we may have this holy discipline to want to search your word daily, so that we may be well defended against false teachings. Teach us your truth always. And Father, we pray that armed with your truth, we pray that we may not be so self-righteous, but Lord, we pray that we may always be willing to humble ourselves and never forget that we are here for a purpose, and that is to glorify your holy name and to bring your gospel forth to other people, those who are outside of your kingdom. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.